This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Talk to our guy from the Marlins Uncorked podcast. Our guy, Peter Pratt from across the pond, joining us there. Our favorite Marlins insider to talk to. What's going on, Pete? How are you, buddy?
What's happening, guys? Happy New Year!
It is. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy baseball season. It's good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, same. Hope everyone's doing well, guys. It's almost Marlins baseball season.
What do we have to look forward to? This is brutal.
The end of the season? Next year? I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough opening question, that one.
Well, I mean, Peter, think about this. We got into a 20-minute argument over whether a player who played for the Marlins for 4.5 years should be in the Marlins Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That in itself is crazy.
Well, that was a little bit my fault. I was very fond of Brad Penny back in the day, Peter. And, you know, I feel like if you were a staple of that rotation in 03, that should get you in eventually. Eventually.
But that's a moment. That's not
it's not a moment, dude. It was the moment.
It was the moment. And to be open,
I guess
you can put whatever adjective you want in front of it. Still only a moment.
I guess we'll start here, Pete, with the team, right? So Peter Bendix, Bruce Sherman, they address the media before spring training goes on, and much like Bruce did when I asked about this at the Clayton McCullough press conference, very dancing around Sandy's future with the team. And, you know, from my standpoint, it feels like the writing's on the wall. As soon as he looks like he can get through 9 innings, they're taking bids. So what do you make of their comments about Sandy's future?
You've nailed it. I mean, that is the comment, right? Like, Sandy, he's here for opening day. So, you know, listen, it's a big matchup, and he's going to be there for opening day. But beyond that, like, I'm with you. People are talking about the deadline. I think with Sandy, as soon as he's like showing any resemblance of Sandy from a couple of years back, they're going to pull the trigger on something. There's no need to risk him. Like, he's going to be traded, I think, before the end of June, to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to get to the deadline. And that is rock bottom. I shared on my pod earlier this week. Like, that is the rock bottom of the rebuild. Once Sandy's gone, he's the final piece remaining. And unfortunately, he has to go because this is the plan. A lot of the fans won't agree with it, and it will hurt a lot of fans. So it's going to be sad to see Sandy go. But man, what a part of the Marlins organization he has been. I think this is his fifth opening day start. I mean, thinking about like Hall of Fame candidates for the Marlins, like Sandy's right up there for me. He has just been an absolute stud for the past 5, 6, 7 seasons with the Marlins. So it'll be sad to see him go. But this is the spot the Marlins are in, which is a painful spot. But all you can do is embrace it somehow.
My problem is not that they trade guys when they get to a certain point. Like, we all knew Stanton was going to get traded. We all knew this. Okay, my problem is, at some point, in all your efforts to rebuild and rebuild and rebuild, you got to stick with a core group of guys and ride it out. We've been waiting for this forever.
Yeah.
Hence, case in point, we're asking about guys. We're having a hard time thinking who's the longest tenured Marlin. And has anybody reached 10 years with the Marlins? Like, that is crazy to me.
Yeah, it really is. The cycle just repeats, right? Like, as soon as you have one season of success, and I mean, success recently was just making the postseason. And as soon as you have one season, and granted, like, the Marlins rotation last year was banged up. They pulled the plug on that season and that roster, like, at the nearest possible opportunity.
Right.
And to your point, like, I get it, the guys were hurt, but everyone was still under control for this season. Could you not have just rolled with the dude? Sandy's back now, and it'll look different. You got Sandy, Lozado, and the guys all back, and, you know, Arias, Jazz, and Berger, and whatever, you name it. Like, if they're back, they showed they can hang around. But nope, as soon as there was that, just, you know, the start last year was disgraceful. Whatever it was, 0-10 or something crazy. As soon as that happened, like, Peter Bendix was like, great, I now have the green light to blow this into smithereens. And that's what he's doing. And that's what he wanted to do. I think he wanted to do it in the offseason, but needed for the Marlins to start slowly. As soon as they did, then he was ready to go. But, man, it's painful. It's painful. We just want some sustained success. And that's kind of Bendix's message to everyone is, we have to do this again for sustained success. But, man.
But why? I'm sorry, but just from me being around the Marlins and watching the Marlins, there's nothing about this franchise that has ever been sustained for a period of time. I mean, even when they were at the highest of highs, soon as the season was over, nope, we can't do this another year.
Yeah, agreed. They're like anti-sustainable. Like, it's the opposite. Whatever sustainable is, like, the Marlins are the opposite of that situation, and they seemingly seek that. If there's any glimmer of hope, let's blow it up, baby. That seems to be the approach. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be a developmental year. Those comments, though, like, you're talking about it, Tobin, about the comments from Bruce and Peter Bendix, boy, oh boy, there were some really fun sound bites out of that. I mean, 8 minutes.
Dude.
I mean,
it was
Bruce Sherman was on fire.
That's the thing, man, is like, Peter, and I don't know how you feel with this, but it's like with this regime, and Peter Pratt joining us here from the Marlins on Court podcast on the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sharon, toyotaofhollywood.com. Bruce is such a weird thing because it's like I hear Loria in him, but he's kind of like Loria almost without the bombastic personality. And I think the thing that's interesting with this build with him, you know, being at the helm, like, it was Jeter. So obviously Jeter's got baseball gravitas, even though I thought he was a bit of a buffoon. It's Derek Jeter. So it's like you're going to command the room in some regard. Then it's like, okay, then we go to Kim, and now we have this guy in Peter, who it's like Peter Bendix, who, like, he came from the Rays. Obviously, that's a storied program on how they build things, but it's almost like, it almost feels like we're floating in space, man. Like, when, at least when Loria and Sampson and Beinfest and Hill were here, it's like, I knew who did what, I knew who to be mad at, I knew, you know, what the thought process is. And it's like, here I'm just like, I don't know, maybe Peter Bendix is good, but I don't know, because it's like, I thought Kim Ang was good, and then they're like, nah, she's out of here, you know? And so I think that's the thing. It just feels rudderless at this point.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. And I mean, I get it. I get their approach. Like, Bendix and the Rays, like, they've shown what's possible in this small market situation. Or no, I mean, small market's unfair because, like, listen, Miami is not a small market in any sense. So, you know, it's a big market, but you have an owner that's trying to run it as a small market team. That's the kind of difference here. But, you know, that's what's been presented there. But Kim Ang's way brought a postseason run. They caught lightning in a bottle, and Kim Ang, man, she swung some incredible trades. She, you know, upgraded that big league lineup, and that's what I, as a fan, I'm all in on the big league product. I don't care about the low A team or anything like that. That is just, I'm just not interested in that. I want the big league product to be good. And if it's good, I'm all in. And I think, unfortunately, from the fans, it is rudderless for the fans at this point because there's no big league product. It's a big problem.
Is there, but okay, so getting back to Leroy's original point, like, is there something on this team that you're like, all right, I'm going to grab into the, other than Sandy's comeback and Yuri's comeback, or is it Norby? Is it somebody coming up who's going to be right up in a couple months? Is there somebody you're like, all right, this is what I'm going to sink my horns into here, and this is what I'm going to be excited about as a fan?
No, I've been searching for this guy. Who I'm drawn to. You know, I look back, like, who are my favorite guys? I've been, you know, most recently Jazz Chisholm Jr. I'm looking for the next Jazz because Right. Those are the dudes that excite you. And I'm looking around. I'm just struggling to get super excited by any of the guys. So I'm hoping that someone's going to emerge, some personality that I've yet to see. To be honest with you, the guy I'm most hyped about overall, off the offensive group anyway, is Dane Myers. I don't know why. In the small sample size we've seen, Dane's been fine. I think I just want him to be good. It's a bit like my Brinson thing back in the day. I just wanted Lewis Brinson to be good. And, you know, he hasn't got the prospect status and the trade history of Brinson and whatever, but I just want Dane to be really good for no real reason. And so I hope it's Dane. A lot of people are talking about Norby, and I get it. There's a few guys. Someone's going to ascend. Someone is going to come from this, like, triple-A, quad-A group and become okay, a big fish in a very small pond, to be honest with you. So someone is going to emerge. I don't know who that is. I'd love it to be Dane Myers, to be honest with you.
Anybody at this point. Like, I remember I remember Dan Ugla. Like, it was like, who, how do you say his name? Like, it became the joke with Tommy and Rich. It's like, his name is Dan Ugla. Like, it can happen where it's like, you think a team is going to absolutely suck and you get to be in love with certain guys. Like, it's not impossible. Cody Ross, like, was a cast off and became somebody that the fans, you know, really were attracted to. Mike Jacobs, Corey Cantu. So I'm not saying it's impossible. It just feels like, man, you want to talk about just what we've been bereft of with it, where it sucks that we lose Jazz Chisholm. At least Jazz Chisholm could hit tater tots and had a flair for the dramatic, and so did Berger. And they're just Berger. Like, nah, see ya. Yep. We're gonna strip it down even more. So I'm just hopeful that
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Somebody can make this a watchable product. But it's like when I hear Bruce Sherman talk about, you know, the buzzwords of we're going to be defense and we're going to be hustle and speed, I'm like, that just is translation for
that
we got nobody.
Like no talent.
Yeah, we got no boppers. No way.
I mean, if they're going to do it, if they're going to do it like Tampa did, then isn't that more reason to keep Sandy?
I mean, you,
if you say we're going to be defense and we're going to be, that means you better have a unbelievable pitching staff because you're not going to score. So,
yeah,
doesn't that lead to we're keeping Sandy?
Nah, dude.
I mean, based on what they're saying. Right? That's what it sounds like. Because when you think of those Tampa Bay teams, that's what they did. They pitched well.
Dude, he's already scouting prospects. I guarantee it. Yeah. He's already got like a dozen AAA, AA guys. He's already got his heart set on. He's like, got to call up whoever and just be like, what do you think of this? He's already got the names in mind. That's how gone Sandy is, Leroy.
I think I would feel better if what I'm hearing was consistent with what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you talk about defense, means you're not going to get anybody, you're not going to hire bats, you're not going to buy any bats. If you're going to be good defense, it starts with pitching. But we all know Sandy's out of there.
Yep.
So how can you say those words while getting rid of your best pitcher, which is the only way you can play baseball the way you're trying to play it?
But there's a problem here. The Marlins are about to be way down in starting pitching. They've either traded them or they're hurt at the moment. They have no defense. Whatever Bruce Sherman's saying, he's wrong, by the way. Like the Marlins, the defense aspect, they're going to be bottom third of Major League Baseball in defense. They have no talent in defense either. They've got no sticks with any power. Like, it's really not looking good for this year. But the one thing, there's a couple of things that Bruce Sherman has really called out that it's unquestionable. The Marlins now have the second biggest weight room of any Major League Baseball. That was the thing.
I was like, wow.
Wait,
wow.
We're getting those guys stronger. Ain't going to get them to hit more home runs.
They may not be able to hit home runs now, but after this second biggest weight room in all of Major League Baseball, there is going to be a power surge out of the Marlins. You need to give it at least, I don't know, what, 6 to 12 months for the weight room to kick in? I don't know.
I think that was...
I'm baffled by this.
My favorite my favorite thing, though, with all that was like, wait, so he had probably in his mind wanted to say, we're going to have the biggest weight room. But then somebody in the league was just like, wait. How big is their weight room? Too much. We'll go second biggest weight room. There's no shame in being the second biggest weight room.
They realized it was an extra like $57,000 to get the biggest. And Bruce's like, no. Signing off on that. No. We're going to go the second, which is fine.
Peter, how about this? Have you ever heard an owner brag about all the money he spent outside of the baseball team? He goes, you guys realize how much money we're spending. I'm like, we don't.
It's not right. Showing up on the field. But I mean, the brags from Bruce Sherman in those 8 minutes were, I mean, it was a lengthy list, no doubt. The weight room, he was talking about this in one of the biggest front offices, all of these things. Like, these are the things the fans don't care about. They care none of this. These are just, this. It's an operating expense. That's the cost of doing business in baseball now at this point.
Right.
This isn't an add-on, a kind of shiny add-on.
What I do,
it's just what's required.
Look, whatever I know, whatever they have spent, like I don't know what it costs to run a team. Something tells me when they don't have to pay Sandy his $16 million by the end of the year, it's gonna make good for whatever the weight room cost. You know, just something tells me. I don't know what the difference there is gonna be, but they'll be like, oof, we had to buy that second biggest weight room. How much did that cost? Oh, $1 million? Don't worry, Sandy's gone. We got him for peanuts. Great.
Listen, boys, I need to see you guys doing a show live from the Marlins weight room at some point. If someone can make that happen, then, you know, that would be sensational.
That's going to be my request. If they have us out there, I'm going to be like, you got to show me this weight room. I got to see what you guys got. I mean, what's going on here? Oh, it's like you got look how many, look, they have kettlebells, but there's actually goldfish swimming in them. This is amazing.
Must be.
It's absolutely nuts to me. You got any excitement? Like, are you excited to see Jurri back when he gets back? You know, that was one of the unfortunate things is, you know, last year we talk about guys getting deterred. Sounds like it's going to be all-star break for him, but he did look like the truth, man. Do you feel like this is a guy who could pick up where he left off?
Yeah, absolutely with Jurri. And I think, you know, he's so young and he's, you know, early in his service time period that he can be around. He isn't on the trade block, I think, at this point. And actually, from a Marlins standpoint, the thing I'd look out for in the next couple of months is, could the Marlins actually get an extension done with Jurri Perez? That's the thing that I'm thinking about at this point. My gut feel is they may want to, like, just control service time a little bit when he comes back. Maybe we don't see him in the big leagues after the All-Star break, even though he's ready.
Oh, my goodness, that would
be- you know, you can see that happening, but they may pay him, you know, they can pay him some money and get an extension done. So maybe that's the commitment of this front office and Bruce Sherman and Peter Bendix is, we really see Jurri Perez as the future. Let's get him extended and let's get him healthy. I mean, that's the main thing. Like, let's get him back and healthy. And,
if they get rid of Sandy, then they have to hang on to him because they're probably thinking he's going to be the next Sandy.
Anything's possible, but I hope so. I mean,
we're just spitballing here. Nobody knows.
No, exactly. But he did look like a stud, no doubt. But like a super small sample size too. Like Sandy Alcantara, like, is the certified stud. We know, like, it's rock solid with Sandy. With Jurri Perez, we've seen what, 10, 15 starts at the big league level, to be honest. And so we don't really know.
That's one of the things, though, that I am. Like, I know Sandy's as good as gone, but that is one of the things. Like, Leroy talks about arguments came around. You know that they have a very special relationship. And there's something about, like, hey, all right, I know you guys want to get rid of Sandy as soon as possible because you guys can't afford him. But there's got to be something said for, like, all right, you're gonna basically throw this 21-year-old into the deep end by himself off Tommy John. I'd much rather have him have his mentor there to at least kind of guide him through some of this as long as it is possible. But if it is, you know, up to the trade deadline, they're gonna probably be rats off a ship on it anyway. But that to me is like the only part of it that gives me a great pause is I get that you guys got to get rid of Sandy because you can't afford him, but man, you know, I feel like it would be such a resource for Jurri to have once he is on the mend back to have Sandy in that clubhouse with him, and it sounds like he's not going to be.
Yeah, that, I'm completely with you, and I think that's the role that Sandy played last year too. Obviously, Jurri was hurt as well, but you're completely right. Like, Sandy, you know, it's not just on the field, off the field. He's just an absolute stud. And everyone just gravitates to Sandy. He just does everything the right way. And he's going to be a huge, if he is moved, and let's assume that he is, it's going to be a huge loss for the fans, for the players that are there and remain, and everyone. Like, it's going to be huge. Jurri Perez, having Sandy around for another year, 2 years, would have been huge for him too. And I think it's going to hamper his development because there is no greater person to lean on for Jurri Perez and Sandy, and we've already seen that the two of them, like, they've been inseparable for a year or two, and so it's gonna be definitely have a negative impact for Jurri. But I guess that's baseball, right? I mean, I wanted to keep Sandy, I just don't think they will, and I think, you know, the comments the other day, it was like very obvious,
yeah,
that they all he had to do. Bruce wanted to brag about everything on that day: the weight room, the number of minor league free agents. He was happy to brag about anything, but he also bragged about his Sandy extension. He wanted to go that far to say, "Hey, I did that. Remember that extension? I did that.
Remember that extension that I'm not gonna fulfill? That I can't wait to flip."
It's like, but he couldn't commit to Sandy's going to be here for 25. He could have just said it straight off the bat. Listen, guys, just want to call out: we're not going to be that good this year. Developmental year. Sandy's going to be here. Don't worry about it. Let's go.
He really is Loria without the Picasso. Change the tone, right? He's Loria without the fancy art. Like, that's really what he's become. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think it's a Marlins thing? Like, everybody who owns the team comes in with this level of enthusiasm about what they're going to do, and then they actually see the situation with the cost and what you're going to have to spend, and it's like, oh, got in over my head.
Yeah, it feels a bit like that, doesn't it? Like, you know, the level of investment just that hasn't been there in the past at least 10 years or so. So the sense is that either these guys are looking at it as, this is an investment and I'm here to make money from the Marlins because, you know, the league's paying basically my payroll because of revenue sharing, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just going to cream off the top. Or actually, we thought we were coming in. We thought we could fix attendance. We can't fix attendance. So actually, you know, we're just going to, it's not quite as viable as I maybe thought it was. It's a good point. I mean, they're not going to fix the attendance until the product's good. You know, that's just the reality.
Right. Especially when year after year after year, you get me all excited for baseball and then you have moves due to some of the things you do. Like we go to camp and we talk to all the stars, we talk to Jazz and we, you know, a lot of the new guys. And then if we go back the following year, half of those guys aren't even there. You can't build relationships.
No, it was great. It was a great kick in the junk to see the ex-Marlins World Series last year. Like it was awesome. I mean, it didn't make you want to run your head through a wall at all. Peter Pratt, host of Marlins Uncorked podcast. Go check him out on all your podcast platforms. We always appreciate when he gives us time. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
love you guys.
Peter.
All right, we'll take a break.
See you guys.
Back with more after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.